Thank you and good morning. There are churches who believe that the Sabbath day law is still binding today. They believe that Christians today should observe the Sabbath day. Well, what was the Sabbath day law? Well, it was the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments given to the children of Israel at Sinai. The commandment said, and this is a quote from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates." And so the Sabbath day law was that no one was to work on the seventh day of the week. It was a day of rest. Now the question that we want to consider on our program today and next week, the Lord willing, is the Sabbath day law binding on Christians today? Must Saturday be a day of rest for Christians? First of all, I want us to look at Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17. This passage teaches conclusively that the Sabbath day law was a part of that law which was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And therefore, it is not binding upon Christians today. Let us read the passage. Colossians 2, beginning with verse 14. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Now, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. The handwriting of requirements refers to the law of Moses given to the Jews. Handwriting indicates that it was a written document, and it was a document of requirements or ordinances or decrees. And this was true of the law of Moses. Verse 16 lists some of the requirements, such as laws regarding festivals, the new moons, and Sabbaths, which were a part of the law of Moses. So we know he's talking here about the law of Moses. And this law is described here as being against us, contrary to us. It was against the Jews because it could not save them from their sins. It could only bring guilt and condemnation when they violated the law. Unlike the ministration of grace, wherein Christ provides forgiveness and liberty, the law of Moses was a ministration of death, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. And Paul says here that Jesus has wiped it out. He says that Jesus has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus' death on the cross was the means by which the law of Moses was taken out of the way. In effect, Christ erased the law of Moses as far as its authority is concerned. The law of Moses is no longer binding because Jesus has taken it out of the way. We're now under law to Christ, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21. Christ is the one who has all authority, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Well, since the law of Moses was taken out of the way, Paul then says in verses 16 and 17, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." In other words, since the law of Moses was taken out of the way, don't let anyone condemn you or pass judgment on you if you do not observe these laws. Well, what laws? Well, laws concerning food or drink, laws regarding keeping the festivals, the new moons, and the Sabbaths. And notice, included in these laws is the Sabbath day law. The Sabbath day law was a part of those laws that were taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And Paul says, let no one condemn you if you do not observe these laws. You see, this proves conclusively that the Sabbath day law was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. That law is no longer binding today. But present-day Sabbath keepers will argue that the Sabbaths of this passage are not the Sabbath days, but Sabbath years. Now, it is true the law of Moses required that every seventh year the children of Israel were not to grow crops on their land, but to let the land rest. It was a Sabbath for the land. Read Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7. And so, these Sabbatarians interpret the Sabbaths of Colossians 2 and verse 16 to be the Sabbath years and not Sabbath days. But we know that Paul means the Sabbath days because he uses terminology in this verse that is found in the Old Testament scriptures that clearly shows that he is referring to the Sabbath days. Paul says, "So let no one judge you regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths." Festivals refer to their yearly observances, their yearly feasts. The new moon referred to their monthly observances when offerings were required. And the Sabbaths refer to the weekly observances, the Sabbath days. Look with me at some examples in the Old Testament where this terminology is used. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 31. "And at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the set feast." Now notice, Sabbaths, new moons, and set feast are mentioned here. The set feasts refer to their yearly observances, the new moons to their monthly observances, and the Sabbaths to their weekly observances. Look in 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 4. "Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, to burn before Him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feast of the Lord our God." Notice again, the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the feasts. The Sabbath clearly refers to the weekly Sabbaths. Again in 2 Chronicles 8, verses 12 and 13. "Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord which he had built before the vestibule, according to the daily rate, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three appointed yearly feasts." Now notice again, the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three appointed yearly feasts. The Sabbaths then clearly refer to the weekly Sabbath. And there are other examples in the Old Testament where this terminology is used. And so when Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 16, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths," he's using the same terminology their scriptures used. Therefore, the Sabbaths of this verse clearly mean the weekly Sabbaths, the Sabbath days. This proves that the Sabbath day law was a part of those requirements that were wiped out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. Now, many who believe that the Sabbath day law is still binding today will tell us that God gave two distinct codes of laws to the Jews at Mount Sinai. First, the moral law was given by God in the Ten Commandments, which includes the Sabbath day law, and this law continues to be binding upon all men today. This, they say, is the law of God. And then second, the ceremonial law was given through Moses, which does not include the Sabbath day law, and that law was what was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. This is, they say, the law of Moses. But I want to show that the Bible does not make this kind of distinction concerning the law given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. There were not two laws given to the Jews, one of God and one of Moses. Rather, there was one law. It was the law of God because God gave it, and it was the law of Moses because God gave it through Moses. This one law included moral laws, civil laws, and also ceremonial laws. Look with me at a few passages. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we read of Ezra bringing the book of the law and reading it before the people. In verse 1, it is called the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. In verse 2, it says, "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month." Verse 3 says, "He read from it, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Well, what law did he read from? Well, it was the law. It is called the Book of the Law. It is the Book of the Law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Well, do you think that he read from the Ten Commandments? Well, sure he did. That is in the Book of the Law. Do you think that he read ceremonial laws and civil laws? Well, yes. Those are a part of the Book of the Law. Verse 8 says, "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." You see, the law of Moses is the law of God, and the law of God is the law of Moses. There's no distinction in this law, as some claim. Look with me in Ezra chapter 7. Here we read of Ezra coming up from Babylon to Jerusalem. Verse 6 says that he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Notice here it is called the law of Moses, which the Lord God had given. Verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Here it is called the law of the Lord. In verse 14, it is called the law of your God. Well, what law is this? Well, it is the law of Moses. It is the law of God. It is the law that God gave Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai, which included moral, civil, and ceremonial laws. It is one law, not two distinct laws. And so there were not two laws given to the Jews, one of God and one of Moses. There was one law. It was the law of God because God gave it, and it was the law of Moses because God gave it through Moses. In John chapter 1, verse 17, John says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Here John calls it the law. But what law? Well, the one law, God's law given through Moses. It was the law of Moses given at Mount Sinai. And so when we read in the New Testament that the handwriting of ordinances was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, then we do not conclude that only part of the law that was written on documents was taken out of the way. But we must conclude that all of it was taken out of the way. This would include the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath day law. Well, someone may be saying, if the Ten Commandments were taken out of the way, does that mean we can steal, murder, commit adultery, bear false witness today? Well, no. Those laws are a part of the law of Christ. You know, we're not under the law of Moses, but that doesn't mean that we're not under law. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21, that he was under law toward Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There is a law of Christ. James calls it the law of liberty, by which we will be judged, in James 2 and verse 12. We are now under a new covenant and a new law. Hebrews 7 verse 12 indicates there was a change of the law. And this new law, the law of Christ, does not include the Sabbath day law. All the other commandments of the Ten Commandments are included in the law of Christ. But the Sabbath day law is not repeated. This is the reason that we do not keep that law today. Well, we want to talk more about this next week, so we hope that you'll join us at that time. Well, if you have a question or if you would like to talk with us, we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may contact us. You may email us. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call us. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may send us a note through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.